Okay, we're going to look for a few moments this evening at Ephesians chapter 6. Let's read verse 10. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And then he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against all the deceit, all the trickery, all these attacks of Satan himself. Now, the title of the message today is The Whole Armor of God. The Whole Armor of God. Twice in these few verses, in verse 11 and again down in verse 12, he tells us to put on the whole armor of God. And then he says in verse 13, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand, withstand in that day of attack, that day of evil. And having done all, to stand. Now, I believe what it is to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, as we by experience and by His power and by His grace, that we put on the whole armor of God and that we take this whole armor of God and use it. Paul said in one place in Philippians, he said, I can do all things through Christ, who is my strength, who is my wisdom, who is my righteousness, who is my power. I can do all things through Christ. Christ and Him alone, who is my strength and wisdom. Now, our holy and wise and mighty Savior does not redeem us, regenerate us, and then leave us defenseless in this hostile world. He doesn't save us and then walk off and leave us and tell us to do the best you can. Not at all. He said in His Word, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. He said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. One old writer that I read after some, his name is Robert Hocker, he said this, he that begins in this holy warfare as a believer by the grace of God, as a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the strength of the Lord, will be sure to find strength and grace all the way through and will die in faith. Now, isn't that the same thing that the Apostle Paul says right down the page, if you have the book that I have, in Philippians 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that God who hath begun a good work in you, He will finish it, He will perfect it, He will perform it until the day the Lord is pleased to come back and take us home to glory. Old David put it this way, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, this warfare that the believer is engaged in as we stand in this evil day, this evil time, this warfare that the believer is engaged in, Paul said, his dying words. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. This warfare the believer is engaged in is an active, willing obedience. Believers are not passive in this. Notice the language here. He says, put on the whole armor of God. He says, take the whole armor of God. Take the whole armor of God. And then he says, you stand and do not back down. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Take it. And then in verse 17, he said, take the helmet of salvation. Take it. Don't just look at it. Take it. Use it. God provided it for us in this experience of life, in the experience of grace as we live as believers in this life. Now look at verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. He mentions this several times here, this standing for the truth. and stand against all adversaries. Stand against even Satan himself, who is a deceiver. How are we to be strong in this world? How are we to fight the good fight of faith? God has provided and prepared and has given to us this complete whole armor in which to stand and to fight against all opposition to God's gospel truth. Now let me give you these scriptures talking about the whole armor of God. I looked that word up, armor, and I found these references. In Romans 13:12, it says this, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." The armor of light. Christ is light. Put on that armor. Make use of it. Make use of it. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7, when Paul is encouraging believers to live a life honoring unto God and magnifying unto the grace of God, he said, "Do this by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and the left hand." Now, who is the armor of righteousness? Christ is our righteousness. Christ is our armor before all enemies. We are instructed here to take it, to put it on. That is to make good use of what God gives unto us, what He provides. Our God said that He will provide all things for us. Doing so, the promise of God is that we should be able to stand in the Lord, not back down, not compromise, but rather fight against all opposition to God's gospel and the truth of God. Even against, notice what it says there. These are enemies that we could not handle apart from God's grace given unto us, that you may be able to stand against Satan himself. Now, I'm no match for him. Peter wasn't. Remember what the Lord said to Peter? "Satan had desired that he might sift you like wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith does not fail. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against all the wickedness that would come against us, even the trickery and the malicious schemes of Satan and his allies, who is called an adversary, who's called a roaring, lying lion going about seeking whom he may devour." Now, our weapons in this warfare are not carnal. Find 2 Corinthians 10. They're not carnal. They're not carnal, fleshly weapons, but they're spiritual weapons. Spiritual weapons. 2 Corinthians 10, look at verse 3. 2 Corinthians 10, 3. "For though we walk in the flesh," now we're just creatures, fleshly creatures, redeemed by the power and blood of Christ, "we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Now that's a warfare. Stand in that. Now look at verse 12, back at the text. He says, "We wrestle not." And he's given us complete armor in which we are to stand. Now, the first thing he mentions here, he says, having your loins girt about, wrapped up, tightly wrapped up with the truth. With the truth. Have yourself wrapped up in the truth. In the word of truth, our Lord said the truth will set you free. In the gospel of truth, salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the truth. Have yourself wrapped up in Christ, His word, His truth, His person. Wrapped up with Him. Girded up with Him. That's a good place to start, isn't it? This is the first part that's mentioned because it's the foundation of the rest. His word will never fail. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never fail. His word and His truth will never change. It's an unchanging truth. It's a truth that never needs to be upgraded, updated. It's always the same. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. So have yourself wrapped up as a believer in the word of truth, in the gospel of truth, in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the truth. And I tell you, you'll be able to stand. You'll be able to stand, therefore, having yourself wrapped up with the truth. Then second thing he mentions here is this. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate. It covers, you look at those old soldiers years ago. They had that heavy armor plate covering the vital parts. So no one could lance them with a spear or with a sword covering the heart and the lungs and those vital organs. This is what he's saying here. Have yourself having on, put it on, take it, receive it, use it, the breastplate of righteousness. Now again, it gets right back to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lord, our righteousness, isn't he? The Lord, our righteousness. This is not the works of righteousness which we have done, but rather His righteousness, which Christ has accomplished for us and freely imputes unto us. Now, I want you to find Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Now, this is a blessed, blessed truth. If you look carefully at Romans chapter 4, it mentions this over and over and over again about righteousness that is imputed or reckoned or counted. He mentions it 7 or 8 times, maybe more than that. But notice, begin reading it. Romans 4, look at verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness, he charges it to the believer's account. Without works, without any contribution on our part, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. The righteousness we enjoy is Christ Himself. He is the Lord, our righteousness. He's made unto us wisdom and righteousness. Satan and all his allies cannot pierce, penetrate this righteousness. It's the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God. That is, He is the source of it. He is the spring of it. He is the fountain of it. And it's given to us freely. That's why the apostle said in Romans 8, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifies. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? It's God who justifies us. It is Christ who has died. Now, who can charge us? No one. No one can penetrate this armor of righteousness provided by God Himself. By God Himself. Look at verse 15. Now he moves down to the feet. Have your feet shod. Have on proper footwear for the battle. For the battle. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Peace. We have in the Lord Jesus Christ a firm and solid foundation upon which to fight. He has prepared us for the battle. He has laid the solid foundation upon which believers are fastened to that rock, and our feet have been prepared to fight. And they've been prepared with the gospel, with the gospel, I like this, with the preparation prepared by God, given by God, determined by God, decreed by God, the preparation of the gospel is the gospel of peace. We have, as believers, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He has bought this peace and made this peace with His own blood. This is a message that God has given unto His church to go and preach the gospel of peace. Peace not that we make, peace that He made with His blood. And that's the message we declare. Paul said, "For as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel." Go and preach this gospel to everyone that will hear it. They need to hear it. This gospel of Christ. The gospel of God, if you look at Romans 1:1, the gospel of God. And then it says in verse 3, the gospel of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. And this is peace with God. Peace made with God through the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. Having made peace for us. Go with that message. That's the foundation upon which we stand. Christ and Him crucified. And then look at verse 16. Here's the fourth thing that he mentions. Now notice the emphasis here. Above all. He's not saying that these other things are not important. They are. But above all, boy, you better go believing. You better go stand and fight believing God. Believing His Word. Believing His truth. Taking up His cause. Fighting for that cause. The cause of God and truth. Above all, taking, again, it's not something that's passive, it's active. Taking, daily, always. Taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take it. Above all things, take this shield of faith. You remember the scripture over in Hebrews 11. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible. It's impossible to please God without faith. Do you ever think about that statement? Without a man who is without faith is a man without Christ. It's impossible to please God without Christ. That's how Christ is received, by God-wrought, God-given faith. Not works, faith. Without faith is impossible to please God. And certainly would be impossible to stand and fight if we did not believe God. Now something interesting about this word here, shield. We often see those old movies. Some of your younger people probably didn't see those old movies of the old timers back way back 500, 600, 700 years ago, how they'd fight and they would take those shields. And oftentimes we think of a shield that fits on the arm. But this shield here, the word actually means like a door. I mean, it's as big as a door. It's a shield that you just don't hold with your arm. It's a shield that you put up and stand behind it. Like you would a door. It's actually something that could be 2 feet wide and 4 or 5 or 6 feet high that you can stand behind. Like a door. What does that remind you of? The Lord said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He shall go in to life and out of death." This is a shield that we stand behind. You see, it's all relative to Christ, isn't it? It's all relative to the Lord Jesus Christ. Taking. You see, it's active, it's present, it's ongoing. Looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Coming unto Him. Taking the shield of faith. Wherewith you shall be able. You shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So they do say mean things about us. So they do criticize our message. So they do shoot at us and shoot us down. Does it bother us that we're going to change our message because someone criticizes us? Not at all. Taking the shield of this faith, we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts that are shot at us. And I've had more than a few. More than a few. I had a local doctor in our area that we had taken a young lady to try to get some help. And this doctor rudely criticized my ministry in front of this young lady we were trying to help. And said, you don't want to have anything to do with those people down at that church. They're going to hurt and harm you. You believe such a thing? I had a half a mind to go down there and whip him. At least call him up and tell him a thing or two. But you know, I let it go. Able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Really, when you think about it, it's only by His grace that I didn't go down there and whip Him. By His restraining grace. Because that was my first, you know, this young lady, she's in trouble. She needs help. And we've been trying to help her. She's on welfare. And she has a small child. And we're trying to do the best we can for her. And the church family's helping her. And take her to this local doctor. And then he turns around and criticizes me. What an idiot. He said, those folks down there don't even believe. They don't believe in water baptism. This particular doctor, who's a notorious doctor in our area, he's a Church of Christ man. Church of crud, I call him. Church of crud. And everybody that goes in his office, he tries to promote his lie that sinners are saved by water baptism. So no wonder he criticizes me. But that's okay. That's okay. We're going to stand. We're going to stand for the truth. And then he mentions here verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation. Take the helmet of salvation. Now in 1 Thessalonians 5, it's called the helmet of hope. The helmet of hope of salvation. And then in another place, it talks about this hope that is a good hope through grace, grace alone. This helmet is the hope of salvation through Christ alone. You see, it's all relative back to Him. Take the helmet of salvation. Or take Christ the Savior, the only Savior. Remember what Peter said on Pentecost? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You take this helmet of salvation. It'll do you well. It'll do you right. It'll never break down. Take it. Put it on. Use it. Take the helmet of salvation. This salvation we know is of the Lord. Salvation is all of the grace of God. Take the helmet of salvation. A good hope of salvation in Christ is the only defense against false doctrine of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation. Well, number 6, let's move on. And then it says here in verse 17, the sword of the Spirit. The sword. gives us a new spirit, a spirit of God, a living spirit, regenerated, and the joints of the mire, and is discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. Take this sword. You know, all the other weapons that we've talked about in this armor, all the other parts of this armor have all been defensive weapons. Now, this is an offensive weapon. You take that sword of the Spirit and you go and fight this battle. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God. As I said earlier, the sword of the gospel, which is the power of God into salvation, operates upon the hearts of God's elect. You cannot come near this sword without it having an effect upon you. For it's God's sword. Now you imagine this sword in His hand that He has given unto us. And it's His sword. It's His sword in His hand. I tell you, that's mighty, mighty powerful. You think anyone can stand up in opposition to this sword that He wields, that He puts forth? Penetrating, sharp, quick. And then lastly, let me give you this. Praying. Praying. Well, I tell you, how important is prayer? Pretty important. Pretty important. Praying when? Always. As you go to fight, as you take the stand for the gospel, go with a heart of prayer. Crying out unto the Lord as David did, Lord, help me. Thou art my help. Praying always, with all prayer, with all request, is the word supplication. And how are we to pray? In the Spirit. In the Spirit. Watching thereunto with all perseverance, and pray for all the saints. Pray for all the saints. Praying always. Our Lord said in Luke 18, He spake a parable unto them to this end, men ought always to pray and not to quit. Pray always. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. What a great privilege God has given to us to cry out unto Him for mercy and grace to help in time of need. Because He is a living God, He hears our cry. Because He is a mighty God, He answers in a way honoring and glorifying unto Him. Now this blessed armor that the Lord wisely has designed for us to use, and I pray that God would help us to make wise use of it, to stand and contend for the gospel that was once delivered unto the saints.